Welcome, Hoosier fans, to another frustrating, aggravating, and defeated episode of the Assembly Call. Today, your Indiana Hoosiers play Purdue in the great rivalry game, game that's many expected to be a good one, hopefully one where Indiana comes back and wants to fight and play well, and amidst rumors of a big halftime event. Very exciting to come into this game, but the Indiana Hoosiers eventually fall in this game to lead us to 15-8 on the season, 5-7 in the Big Ten, dropping us lower in those Big Ten standings. Again, the game, I believe, started with some good back and forth play, Indiana playing inside well. Unfortunately, Purdue was continuing their hot hand that they had from the Iowa game previously and were hitting a lot of good shots from the outside. A decent surge in the end of the first half leads IU to tie the game 28-28 with 3 minutes left in the half. Then sadly, IU goes to not score a single basket for the final 3 minutes of the first half, leading the half score of 37-28. Then just kind of more of the same in the second half. IU going through little droughts here and there. Not playing well, allowing Purdue to get up to a sizable lead, double-figure lead, 15, I believe, even at one point. Then with just 9 minutes to go and play, some good in-and-out play, good ball movement, crowd gets back into it, and we're able to get the game within 56-50. But then back-to-back empty possessions puts Purdue back up by 11. Poor shot selection by IU, a little bit of try at the end, a little bit of fight from Al Durham. But in the end, sadly, IU falls in what was very much almost a must-win game for the Hoosiers. I'm your host today, Chat Mob Chad. I'm here with a new face to the Assembly Call post-game show, Noah Freeman. He's from the Indiana HQ, and you'll find him on Hoosier Sound as well. We are today's guest hosts because Jared, Andy, Ryan, and Coach are all in Bloomington. They were there in attendance today's game, so we can blame some of it on them, I believe. They are now heading over to Switchyard Brewing to prepare for a live post-game show there. So if you are in Bloomington, make sure you stop by Switchyard. In the meantime, we're here to break down all the angles of today's game. And let's start the show as we start every show, and that is with our Hoosier Proud banner moment. Hoosier Proud banner moment, you can kind of guess on this one. This game was always going to be a big one. The rivalry always runs deep and transcends generations with this game. This game obviously had another level to it. This was a star-studded game. We had Mark Cuban, Sage Steele in attendance, Dickie V coming in to call the game. So many ex-players were there. Isaiah Thomas, Quinn Buckner, Scott May, Pat Knight, the 1980 team. Tijon, I think I even saw a picture of. Priller the Thriller, I think, even said that he was going to be there. I saw posts. Future players were in attendance, people that have signed their letters of intent, and many recruits. As well as the whole Assembly Call crew, Hoosier Hysterics. So there's a lot of lead up to this one. But the one person in attendance that was rumored all year was the appearance and return of Coach Bob Knight. It had been kind of a heated topic for many critics criticizing his return, but a majority were excited for this moment to happen. For me, I'm happy to be able to see him get a chance to have a curtain call moment at Assembly Hall. Yes, it was sad the way things turned out at the end of his coaching career at IU, but the things that IU accomplished in the 70s and 80s under his lead will live in college basketball infamy. IU basketball is a program that takes a lot of pride in the five banners that are hung in Assembly Hall, and it would be wrong to not allow this moment to happen with many of those banners being hung by Knight. So at halftime, Bob Knight slowly made his way onto the court for the first time in 20 years, a man showing his years as his health has been declining. As he gets to midcourt to cheers of Bobby from the crowd, Coach looked kind of cautious. Then the former players that were on the court made their way to his side, embracing him, many with tears in their eyes. And I'll admit that I had some tears in mine as well. And that was kind of when you saw emotion hit Coach Knight, a man that is known to often hide his emotions, is brought to near tears. The crowd chants, "Thank you, Coach." And you can feel Coach Knight's Coach Knight relax and put aside the fears that the fan base didn't want him there. Coach Knight raises his hands and yells, "Play defense," later leading the crowd in chants of defense after playing around with Dickie V on the sideline. Coach seems back to his own self, playing around on the court with other players. Coach then slowly made his way off the court as the weight of this moment settles and the lingering unfinished business finally settles in Assembly Hall. Thank you, Coach Knight. Thank you for coming back again. Thank you for taking that curtain call. We can all be happy. And of course, this banner moment today, as always, is brought to you by our friends at Homefield Apparel, which was founded by an IU grad and remains based in Indianapolis. If you haven't been paying attention to what's been going on over at Homefield Apparel, you really need to go to their website, homefieldapparel.com, as soon as you can to check it out. Homefield still has incredibly comfortable Bison logo hoodie, which is made out of their soft tri-blend material. And in addition to the Bison hoodie, they have their classic IU basketball champions t-shirt, the Indiana script, and the vintage sneaker design, which is available in the traditional cut, three-quarters sleeve cut, and the women's cut. And you will also find a handful of football-inspired designs and even the assembly called t-shirts and hoodie. All of their designs uniquely feature logos that date back to the days of Branch McCracken. And every item they sell is incredibly comfortable and maintains its comfort even after you wash it. This is why we love Homefield Apparel, and we know that you will too. And because you're Assembly Call listener, you can get a massive discount when you order your at homefieldapparel.com. Use the promo code ASSEMBLY20 at checkout, and you will get 20% off your entire order. That's everything in your shopping cart for 20% off with the promo code ASSEMBLY20. So go to homefieldapparel.com and use the promo code ASSEMBLY20 for your entire order, for 20% off your entire order today. Okay, so now it's time to move the ball and find the open man and get some opening thoughts from the rest of our team. Noah, kind of what are your thoughts going of IU's disappointment today?
Well, first, it's just great to be on here with you and be able to share just what a day this was. And of course, I wish this was under better circumstances, obviously. And despite everything that happened today and just what a crazy week and basically just where to start this leading up to this game. And then of course that incredible banner moment today that I think all of us have been waiting for a really long time. But basically I think for my opening thoughts, you summed it up the best, that this was, I guess, not technically to the actual definition must win game, because technically they still have 8 more games left and they've got a Big Ten tournament to make a splash. But this was basically as much of a must win game as you could have it going into home. You've got a Purdue team that was really streaky on the road. They don't really score a lot of points on the road. Yes, the last couple of games for them have been incredible for them, but and this is now the last time I'm ever going to do this. If you ever follow Indiana HQ, Hoosier Sound podcast, I never put out my thoughts. I'm not like Jared. Every week or so, I'll put out, "Hey, I got a great feeling about this game." But today was the first time that I was like, "Hey, I really have a good feeling about this game." They're on their longest losing streak for the entire season, 3-game losing streak. They've had a week to stew in this. This year, they've got different leadership. Now, we'll talk about that as we get into it a little more specifically. But you've got a guy like Joey Brunk, which his off-the-court leadership, we've been able to see all of the stuff he's done in practice and how basically he's not going to let this team quit, at least off the court. And you put that with a week to kind of stew and everything, hopefully just a shadow of any of this team that you had in late January, early February, would just all of those circumstances boiling up in home game. You've got a crowd that, especially against like the Michigan State game and almost the Maryland game, was basically a crowd that wasn't going to let this team lose. And it was feeling like a good day. Then a few hours coming up to the game, kind of last night into this morning, you got the rumors that, hey, Coach Knight might actually be able to come to the game again today. Now, of course, we heard that coach might be coming to a couple games previously, but there was a different feel to this. Dickie V was able to talk about that. And then just building up to all of this, it was just going to be this final culmination of a game. They were going to hopefully win this Purdue game, get back on track, get back and everything. And then it was, the game started out, it was okay. And then I think it was just a roller coaster of emotions and then just kept going downhill like we've seen the past few games, the past few weeks for this team. And it was honestly, it was just, I think to sum it up, it was kind of just disappointing with what we've been seeing from this team the past two and a half weeks.
Yeah, I think you nailed it there. And I you started to lead into something there that maybe we can attack now, is that this team is still, you didn't see that emotional leader. You hoped, like you alluded to, that Joey Brunk was going to be that guy. Joey Brunk with the timeout, the time off, being an Indiana guy, being playing at Butler. He's even said going into it that he knew the weight of this game. And while he had some decent minutes and put up some decent numbers within the game, he didn't seem like he was that emotional force. He only brought down 3 rebounds on the day, scored 8 points, played 24 minutes. He wasn't fired up. You didn't really see anyone that was fired up, getting in everyone's face, being that leader. Where do you think that lacked? What do you have any thoughts of where that could come from, or what's happened to that?
First, I think I'll preface our entire show that it's probably going to be a very redundant show from the past few games. I think anything we say is basically what all the guys have said the past few games, because it that's what it's been. It's been the same performance, the same emotion, the same execution, everything the past few games. And exactly like you said, you would have hoped that a guy like Joey Brunk would at least be able to emotionally lead the team on the court. But I liked a lot of the minutes we got from him, but specifically with the leadership on the court, you didn't necessarily see too much from him. You didn't see anyone get fired up, and you could go through this entire list. I could name every single person, and I don't think there was many people that were even close to being sort of emotional on the floor. And I think what Hoosier fans really want to see at the moment right now is just, you make a big play, you get really excited about it, and you just have fun with basketball. And it's kind of going down to just as simple as just having fun and getting into the game and just getting amped up for the spotlight on you. It's another, again, like I said, a home game against Purdue. The crowd, of course, is obviously there. They're talking about how expensive and ridiculous tickets are on the broadcast. And just didn't come to show. And I think almost the way that I'm talking, just the loss of words, is just kind of how frustrating and disappointing this season has been. Because again, it's going to be a broken record where you talk about these upperclassmen, and we just talked about Brunk, but Justin Smith, if you put him up there, we saw a stretch from him at the end, but he's never going to be that emotional leader. Al Durham, he's a co-captain, but haven't seen much from him either on the play or in a leadership stance, at least on the court. Going down the list, Devontae Green, I don't know if he's ever going to be an on-court leader per se, but sometimes he can lead with the play. But when he got a performance with 3 points from him, and his first shot basically at the beginning of the game was a 3-pointer, and then it seems like he went 0 from 15 at least after that. And then you got a guy from Deron Davis, another upperclassman that just hasn't been able to get on the court, only saw 5 minutes. Now, it was a great 5 minutes, but it wasn't what this team needed. And a loss for words, disappointing.
Yeah,
it's performance, and
yeah, it's a team. It's a team where we've tried to find consistency. We've wanted consistency out of this team, and sadly, the consistency we're getting is bad consistency. It's not what we want to see. Mm-hmm. So I might try to bring him in right here. Let's see if he's got a good signal or something. Jared's trying to join us as he's making the walk to switch yard. He might have a good signal. We might be able to hear him. Yeah, we got you. We got you there. So what were your thoughts being there? It seemed from the television broadcast, at least, that Purdue did a good job of taking the crowd out of it. The crowd wanted to be active, but couldn't find reasons. The team didn't give you guys reasons to get going.
No, they didn't. You know, that game definitely did not go as planned. You know, I think the biggest thing that I noticed being there in person is everything Purdue does offensively is in rhythm. And their guys are quick, and they cut hard, and they seem like they know what they're doing. And everything for us offensively is hard. And sometimes it feels like we're figuring it out inside of a possession. And there's just such a stark contrast between those two things. And we were just never really able to get into a rhythm. And then, you know, I thought, you know, once we got it to 56-50, Indiana's making a little run with that small lineup. And we had 2 opportunities to cut it to 4. Trace had a shot inside. Jerome had a shot inside. We missed it. They went down the other end, and I think either Thompson or Boudreaux, one of those guys, hit a 3-pointer. And you could just kind of feel that felt like the last gasp for Indiana. You know, and I thought, you know, there were some 50-50 balls, some tough rebounds. They were just quicker to them. And, you know, it was just, it was very disappointing being there, watching it. You know, hat tip to Purdue. They played really well. They made plays, and, you know, our guys just couldn't do it. So here, I got Coach and Andy here with me. You guys want to
hey, guys. Hey, guys.
Coach, you want to
hey, Chad. How's it going?
Good, buddy. Good.
Tough show for you today.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Now I got to walk past the old Yogi.
I think it's a guard issue, guys. I think the guards aren't playing as well as they can, maybe, or not sure that they're maybe good at all right now. So you got to have guards in college basketball to shoot the three, to get the ball to players. I'm crossing the street here dangerously. A little more successful than IU in crossing that street. But I think it just comes down to guard play. And, you know, people are going to say who's responsible for that. It's either the players or the coach. It's really at both people. They got to play better at the guards. And that's my takeaway. And you live for another day and go get Iowa.
Yep.
I'll pass
it
over to Andy. He's probably got something a lot better than I do right now.
All right. And Andy, let me ask you a question before you say what your statements are. Being someone who hasn't been to a game yet this year with this team, did you notice anything that you haven't seen from watching it on TV, like anyone talking, players talking with each other, anyone stepping up, being more of a leader, or did it all look pretty flat during dead balls? What did you see that you haven't seen watching it on TV?
Yeah, there were a couple times I felt like Jerome was kind of trying to fire guys up coming off the court, but I think we all remarked coming out of the locker room, and obviously with everything that went on at halftime, it was just kind of a odd vibe in the whole place, but just kind of coming out, you just didn't feel like they had a lot of emotion, didn't have a lot of juice, didn't have great body language, and just not really nobody really dialed in. Like Al at a time or two would kind of get a little emotional, but in general it just continues to not be a very emotional team. And and in terms of other just kind of running through the game stuff, I mean, if you watch how hard Purdue cuts on offense and how IU cuts and runs through sets on offense. I mean, it I think Jared mentioned something. Neither, at the very least to us walking back, like it's almost like it's a different game. So that was kind of disappointing. Just not much of a sense of urgency, as cliche as that is to sound, but coming back after having a week to get ready in a game that I think you guys categorized pretty well as what felt like a must win or close to that, just didn't really have enough urgency, excitement, and anything else. So I don't know that I have a whole lot of other thoughts. Man, I think that stretch, I think Jared alluded to it as well. We were texting during the game. It's 56-50. IU has the ball twice in that scenario, the chance to Cubs three or four, didn't convert. And and every time IU made a run, somebody on Purdue would hit a three, make a good play. So credit to them for that, but it was a disappointing kind of unspirited effort throughout, I would say.
Yeah. Yeah. Tough game. Updating people that are just tuning in and stuff. The guys are walking to Switchyard Brewing right now. If you're in Bloomington, try to make it to them.
Boys, it is snowing right now.
Hey. Snowing.
And look, I know that game was not a good one, but we got a beautiful February day. We're going to Switchyard. So if you're listening live, come join us. And Bob Knight came back to Assembly Hall. Mm-hmm. So that will be the enduring memory from this game, because I plan to purge all other memories as soon as this game show is over, because I frankly never want to think about it again. So,
jeez.
Yes.
All right. Well, thank you guys for tuning in. Thanks for thanks for joining. Thanks for giving your input, guys. We always like to hear from guys that they're at the game and see what they have going on. And so, yeah, again, join them at Switchyard if you can, guys. Watch yourselves crossing the street and podcasting. I think we're in this first segment here that we have coming up. We will continue to break down Indiana's loss to Purdue. I will point out some meaningful moments you might have missed, and then we will go inside the numbers and to highlight some of the more important statistical notes from the game. You're listening to Assembly Call. Stick with us.
What's going on? It's Christian Wofford. What's the only thing better than an epic buzzer beater? Celebrating it with friends afterwards. Join my guys, Jared, Andy, Ryan, and Coach on the assembly call after every IU game. Go Hoosiers.
All right. Thank you, Christian Wofford. You are a player, obviously, we would love to have had in that game today. You are listening to the Assembly Call IU postgame show. I am Chad Schwarzkopf here with Noah Freeman of the Indiana HQ. And we are filling in for Jared, Andy, Ryan, and Coach today, breaking down Indiana's loss against Purdue. They are currently in Indiana for their annual pilgrimage. We just heard from them before we went to break, back for the IU game. They are on their way to Switchyard Brewing. In fact, I have seen some reports just recently on Twitter that Coach is running down the street near Assembly Hall chasing his wife.
I'll chase her all the way from Assembly Hall to Switchyard.
Watch it there. It's starting to snow. Coach, you might lose your footing. It's kind of time right now for meaningful moments you might have missed. Obviously not the greatest thing to try to have to do in a loss, but there were some chances where IU did have some time and chances to get back in this game. After the first timeout, Devontae Green and Jerome Hunter came in for the first possession that they were in, led to a turnover between the two of them. Bad pass between them leads to Purdue to score. From there, IU has some good defensive stands, and those two guys make 2 3-pointers to bring IU back close to the lead, actually in the lead, 11-13. So that was kind of a good moment where IU brought it back within in the game and kept it competitive in the first half. Then with 5 minutes left in the first half, crowd was kind of out of the game. Purdue was doing a good job of doing that. Out of the timeout, Trace Jackson Davis is double teamed and he finds an open Jerome Hunter who hits a 15 footer and brings IU back within one. Then a good defensive possession on that end from a Purdue miss. Then Devontae Green drives, does one of Devontae's things, but Trace Jackson Davis was there in an aggressive stance, collects and puts the ball back in, bringing IU up 25-28. Crowd gets back in it. Another defensive side leads to a feed to Trace Jackson Davis on the post. He gets double team and fouled, putting both field goal or both free throws in out of that next timeout. Actually, that was when IU went up 28. Sadly, that was the last point they scored in the first half and then led to Indiana down like they were ending the first half. Noah, any other meaningful moments you want to hit from this game?
I got a small one and a big one. The small one was Deron Davis in his limited minutes there. I really liked what I saw from him in the 5 minutes. You got a lot of really good defense down low. And then what you never see from Deron is he had hands. He right after a couple defensive stops, it looked like Purdue had gotten a defensive rebound. And then Deron comes in and pokes the ball out. And then maybe a little bit of a questionable call by the refs on who it bounced off, but he jumps up and throws it on under Purdue's legs, and then it bounces off and goes out of bounds, and it's IU's ball to get another chance at the basket, because it didn't seem like they had almost any real chances compared to Purdue at this game offensively. But the biggest one that I was really hoping would just hammer home coming down the stretch was at the 12:30 mark when Indiana was down 16, and at that point the largest deficit for them, but Jerome Hunter hits a three, and I felt like that could have been the spark that they needed, and it ended up being it, because he got a three, they got a defensive stop. Justin Smith, after a couple moves, made a basket down low. Purdue makes a basket, but then Rob hits a three. Purdue travels. Trace Jackson battles down low, makes a couple free throws. Then after a couple misses on both sides, Justin then goes down low, makes another shot, and that's where they went on their 10-2 run. They were down six. That was the point that the guys were referencing, 56-50, in about 3.5 minutes. They were able to squash that deficit. But I think I almost don't even want to touch that last 7 or 8 minutes of the game, because it was like I was saying earlier, a roller coaster of emotions. You get really excited, and that was a point where everyone was getting really excited, and then almost nothing went positive from there on out, from about 8 minutes left in the game.
Yeah, and I mean, going away from the meaningful moments and talking about the lineups were kind of up and around, mixing up different plays, and they had good success when we went with the 3 and 4 duo of Jerome and Justin. Jerome had a pretty decent game playing the few shots he rushed in three, but we did better movement and better ball play with those guys in there. What do you think of that lineup? Did you do you think they had better success? Did you like the bigger lineups? What did you like out of the lineups today?
It was kind of weird because you just said talking about if I like the bigger lineups or not. And the game started out with actually some really good defense and offense from both Joey and Trace down low. And then I feel like that just kind of unraveled on both the offensive and defensive side for the Hoosiers. And it kind of just swung that way to Purdue for basically the rest of the game, minus Trace being able to do what he does and score, ultimately scoring 16 points by the end of it. Couple garbage time points, but you look at the points in the paint margin, and except for, again, like I said, the garbage time points, Purdue had 28 points in the paint to IU's 20, which was more like 16 by the end of it. And when you pair that with a rebounding margin of 29 to Purdue and 28 to Indiana, it was something that was kind of weird. I felt like at times it was working, but I felt like overall it wasn't, just because Purdue, of course, has a bunch of big guys that they were able to go to, but you look at one side where Duran was able to lock down, you were able to lock down Williams for a while, and then you've got Bordreau that wasn't able to do too much, minus, I guess, the beginning and then the very end, and then you've got Harms that came in and didn't too much except for that five straight points that was really at least important for them, but then again, like I said, you go back to the points in the paint, and I don't feel like Indiana won that battle. And then you go to the small ball side where they, like you said, they were able to make that run and come back. But then you go back to the specific guard play that we've seen just time in and time out these last four games plus. And when you've got a guy like Al Durham that went 2 for 6, and basically I feel like if it wasn't for the last 2 minutes, didn't score any points at all. And you've got Rob Finnessy 2 for 4, Devontae Green 1 for 7. It's hard to get some of those smaller lineups, and it was nice to see Jerome Hunter have a couple sparks there, and then Justin Smith have about 10 minutes of looking like, I guess, Michigan State light Justin Smith at points. But even with some of those, and right now I'm doing the best I can to try and find just any glimpses of good things, because it's hard to talk about the poor things, because we could just unleash a waterfall of how poor this game went. And I don't know. Going specifically to guard play though, Chad, I had a question for you. When Andy was talking about emotions and everything on the floor, why didn't we see any specifically from Al? You saw the very end of the game, the hustle that he had and how he was attacking the basket and getting after it by the end of the game. Why didn't we see that? Why did it take to going down 15, 16 plus points before seeing some emotion from not just him, but even a good portion of the team?
Yeah, Al is one that I expect a lot more emotion out of, and same with Rob. I mean, Rob is a fairly stoic player. We've kind of known that. He doesn't, you don't see him yell, or he just kind of leads by example and never gets too boisterous. But yeah, Al is definitely one that you see more emotion out of. And he, in more physical games, he does tend to get knocked off his game easily. And I believe it was loosely called in those regards. And in some instances, Purdue was really grabbing a lot of the screenplay IU was trying to do. And the rest were letting that play. I think that kind of takes Al off his rhythm and everything. But in regards to Rob, I wonder if there's something going on that we don't know about, just because he doesn't seem right. He doesn't try to do those drives that we are used to seeing, that we've seen before from him. He isn't as aggressive as we've seen. I don't know if he's slightly nursing an injury, or he's playing with a little bit of fear of injury. But he isn't the aggressive Rob that we started to see last year, that we all got so excited for to have this year. I don't know what gets him out of it. If he needs a hot game to get going, if he needs what it is, a yelling or what. I do not envy Coach Miller and his staff, because it's a hard thing to figure out. How do you motivate these kids? Mm-hmm. Has he tried many different ways? We're not in these practices. We don't know what's going on behind the scenes. We could say that he needs to toughen up these guys and he needs to yell at them. Well, maybe he is, and that didn't work. So he's moved on to plan C, D, F, G. Who knows where he is on this?
Yep.
Is that something that is fixable in this roster? I don't know. It because we've seen glimpses of a good team. So it's not like it's not there. Underlying, it's just, yeah, it leaves you with that kind of thought. But yeah, the numbers are interesting to look at, because from the eye test, you would feel like this team wasn't aggressive enough on the board and everything. But then, like you said, the rebounds were just 29 Purdue to 28 Indiana, and then neck and neck with that. And then same with that second chance points. You felt like IU did not do good on the offensive glass and getting those second chance points and everything. But you felt like Purdue was getting every second chance point they could and those offensive rebounds. But yet they only had 7 points from second chance to IU's 12. So we won that one. Points in the paint, Indiana 11 to 17. So again, It's strange when you just try to look at the numbers, because the eye test does not tell that story the same. Obviously, the 3-point shooting, they were doing, our guards were struggling, with the screens, getting screened off of guys. Maybe they needed to, some guys needed to help and step up, but I believe a lot of their guards got some good open looks because our men were trailing them and trying to, get back. That's where I think a lot of the struggle was. I don't know what other numbers kind of stick out to you.
I mean, well, first with, man, you talked about trailing the, as a defender trailing Purdue coming around those screens, my goodness, it seemed like there was almost 8, 9, 10 feet in between a Hoosier defender at points. And then, one of the Purdue Boilermakers getting open from the arc. And it was just, I feel like a lot of it was just really slow feet from that point. And they weren't locked in. Cause at one point I saw, it was Devontae was looking like he was trying to go left of a screen. The screen was coming from top to bottom, not left to right. He was trying to go left around it to get there, but then Purdue just easily made a quick cut and Devontae was caught behind, one of the Purdue centers. And not just in terms of slow physically, but they were just slow mentally for in that capacity. And then just going into that, I think one of the biggest numbers that I had was, I think it was Dickie V said that Purdue's 3-point percentage on the road this year is something around 25%.
Yes.
And they ended up 8 for 16, right at 50%. So, and this time, I think that there have been a lot of games recently where it has been, the other team has gotten hot. You can attribute to a lot of the other team getting hot with some poor Indiana defense, but today it seemed like it was just poor defense, not getting around the screens, which again, all the stuff you and I are saying are things that we've seen recently. And we're just more people saying it as a broken record.
Yeah, and we've got to figure out the guard play. They've got to step it up on defense. The communication was lacking as well. There were many plays where their players would drive and the guards would get lost on the screen. So like Trace Jackson Davis would try to help as the player continued to drive, and the guard would kind of would almost recover. But not enough. So Trace Jackson would kind of draw off thinking the guard was back, but he wasn't. And then they'd continue on and they'd get an easy layup. So it's exasperating because you're thinking we play so horrible. Here we go. We're coming back. We got Purdue. We got the home court. We got the amazing fan base is going to be good. We love the energizing and everything like that. The team answers for that, but it just was not there. The team did not answer to the fans' energy or anything like that.
Even more frustrating, I'm sorry to cut you off, was that this was a memorable moment you might have missed in the negative way. At some point in the first half, I was watching plays develop because Indiana was actually doing a really good job of running plays. I feel like at times they get into ruts where they don't run plays and they just try and shoot things up. But this was in a stretch where they were running plays and this kind of goes to the way the game ended, was Trace was at the top of the key running his portion of the play. And I just saw him throw his hands up in confusion about what was going on down low because someone wasn't moving or screening the way they were supposed to. And this is at the beginning of the game. You guys had a week to get ready for this game and get these plays in order and do everything. And this was even at the beginning of the game where all of the hype was for the Hoosiers before they started to break down even more. And if the things are quote unquote clicking relative to this game and they were still confusing, it should have been just a precursor to for all of us to see this game is probably not going to end very well.
Yeah, I mean, looking through more stats of things, Trace Jackson-Davis obviously played the most minutes. His play, I felt, was pretty good. My complaint with him as of recently was his aggressiveness on the offensive board, as well as just his strength overall. That's being very picky with a freshman player because, again, he is a freshman. He is figuring it out. He is playing in one of the most physical leagues of college basketball and is playing one of the more tough positions to play as well in the Big Ten. So he did okay with the game with 8 rebounds, took care of the free throw line. That was a great thing to see. He was 8 for 10 on free throws, 4 for 9 for his field goal. Again, I think if he just had a little bit more strength when he works on that in the off season, I think those types of numbers for him will improve. 4 assists, only had 1 turnover. He had some good moments when the double team came, finding the open man or finding his way out of it, which is going to be a big weapon for him. It's something that he's going to have to live with in his college career. That's what's going to happen. All scouting reports are going to say you got to double that guy. He's one that obviously is going to need to improve as he continues on. Hopefully this year he can find some more of that strength and continue on. Justin Smith defensively, I think, did okay with his man. I would have liked to see him. This was a chance for him to show up rebounding wise. He only had 5 rebounds. I think he got lost in there sometimes running back. I feel like, I don't know if part of the game plan was to watch out for Purdue's fast breaks or something, but I felt like too many guys were running back to get back and set on defense, and we were foregoing the offensive board too much. At least with keeping Trace Jackson and Justin there, Justin can get back. Trace can relatively get back, but they can figure it out before he gets back. We need to try to explore doing that a little bit more often and get second chances because we aren't a good shot knocking down team. So balls are going to be coming out of that rim. So we need to be able to get those and have more possessions for that percentage to get a little bit better. Yeah. Again, we talked on Brunk, Rob, Al, Jerome, I think is slowly getting better. We'll see him better. I'm on Franklin, 10 minutes. He came in, he had 4 points. 1 assist, 1 turnover. What did you feel of his game? I didn't really notice anything that stood out bad to me. I didn't necessarily see anything that was something that I wanted to laud too much. What did you feel like he did today?
Well, I feel like for Armand specifically, I feel like there's got to be something underlying that we just don't necessarily see because you talk about the eye test, and in terms of the eye test of just watching basketball on the court, you don't see too many mistakes from him. And at this point, it's honestly which guys aren't making mistakes, which is not what you want to see. You want to see who's making plays. But at this point, which guys are making the fewest mistakes? And Armand isn't making too many mistakes. He only had 1 turnover in 10 minutes, and yet we don't see very many minutes from him on the court, not just today, but the previous few games, and he's scoring some points. So honestly, it almost seems like a cop-out answer, but I just don't know because we don't see too much from him, and I'm not sure why he's not seeing the court more than 5 or 10 minutes.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's bad to say something in this regard to want to throw away some minutes of this year, but to prepare for next year. But I think he can grow a lot more if he does see more of that play time. And I think he is going to be an amazing factor for this team moving forward in the future. So why not within these games like this, that we have guard play that's questionable and some tough decisions and guys that just aren't motivated, to get that freshman in there and give him some play time. Cause I have seen in many games, and while I did see a moment where he tried to make this pass, and it almost ended up with an out of bounds play. He is a player that does a good job of trying to get the ball into Trace. He does a good job of lobbing it over, of looking there first. And I think every guard and every player on this team needs to look there first. I don't think very often we do. I think we're busy passing it around the outside before we try to look inside. But I do see him trying to get the ball in fairly quickly within the possession to Trace. And I like to see that. And he did that specifically at one point in this game that I can remember. And it did not lead to a basket and almost, in fact, led to a turnover. But it's at least shows that he is following possibly some orders that are coming from the coaching staff that needs to happen. So I read into that in those regards, thinking that coaching staff wants that to happen and is coaching that, and maybe it's getting lost somewhere in translation within the team. Any other stats before we kind of end this segment that you want to go over?
I mean, we could talk for 2 hours, or we could just through it and we could live to fight another day. So let's try and live to fight another day.
All right. Coming up on the assembly call, we will hand out our game balls. Let's see if we can figure out that one. That's might be a tough one. And hit any other lingering storylines. Look ahead to, and also look ahead to Indiana's next opponent. Then it will be time for last call. All that is next on Assembly Call. Stick with us.
Carson Edwards here, and even though I'm teammates with Romeo Langford, I'm still never going to listen to the Assembly Call. Go Celtics.
Oh boy, that guy frustrated you, didn't he? Now you're listening to the Assembly Call IU postgame show. Catch us live immediately following every IU basketball game, plus every Thursday night at our website, assemblycall.com. And while we're while you're there, you can go sign up for the free IU email newsletter. Over 7,000 of your fellow IU fans have subscribed. You can also text IU to 66866 to subscribe to the newsletter. That's IU to 66866. I'm Chad Schwarzkopf here with Noah Freeman from Indiana HQ. And we are filling in for Jared, Andy, Ryan, and Coach today, breaking down Indiana's loss against Purdue, since they are actually in Bloomington today and we're at the game. Now it's time for usually the easy portion and fun portion of the post-game shows, but often like this one, one of the more frustrating and hard segments, game balls. This is, again, one that's it's tough to decide this one. Many times in the season, they have opted, actually once, they have opted not to give one. Noah, where do you head with a game ball in a game such as this?
I mean, like you said, it is pretty tough to give out a game ball just because most of the physical play that your eyes have seen on the court have not necessarily warranted something that a game ball would be praising you for. But I think then in another way, it's almost an easy game ball to give out for Trace Jackson Davis, because if you look into all of the statistics and go exactly by the numbers, first the play you saw on the field, the eye test you saw, he was the only guy that was giving even just a little bit of I hate to say the word emotion, because we don't necessarily what's going on in the players' heads, but just giving you at least something. And then he led the team in quite literally almost every single category. It's almost mind-boggling. He had 16 points, most on the team. Of course, didn't lead the team in 3 points, but you wouldn't expect that at all from him. But then easily led the team in free throws, had the most offensive rebounds, the most defensive rebounds, of course, the most total rebounds. He tied for the most assists. And when Trace Jackson Davis is tied for the most assists, you know something else is wrong with four. Besides a couple of people that played almost no minutes, he had only one turnover compared to everyone else, which is really good. 3 blocks, the most, tied for the most steals on the team. Without Armaan Franklin, the second most plus minus. So literally the most minutes on the court too. So I think at least in that way, Trace Jackson Davis is almost the easy pick yet again this season.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you're right there. I think I've got to go there. If you've got to give one, and I hate in the world that argues about participation awards, it almost feels like you're giving a participation award in this regard for this game, but I'll give it to Trace Jackson Davis as well. So Trace Jackson Davis had 9 before then. That brings him up to 10. Joey Brunk with 3, Al Durham with 2, Devontae Green with 2, Rob Fennessy 2, Jerome Hunter 2, Armand Franklin 1, and no one 1. Justin Smith, again, being the only one that we haven't seen from this. Talking about up-and-coming opponents, obviously next opponent we have coming up will be Iowa. Iowa is, Iowa is 16-7 overall. They're 5th in the Big Ten, currently 7-5. They are currently 17th in the AP. They struggle in the Big Ten away with only 1 win against Northwestern, like many people do. Big losses that they've had have been Penn State, Nebraska, Maryland, Purdue, and Michigan. Those are all their away losses. So obviously coming off a really big loss against Purdue. So going to be a tough one. Obviously, Luka Garza is one of the better players in the Big Ten, someone you want to account for in this game. Do you have anything you want to add about this game coming up with Iowa?
Not specifically, because I know the guys want to get back in here, and I think they are having luck with being able to do some sort of post-game show at Switchyard. So I want to be able to give some time for them. But all I'll say is that Indiana HQ, I know I'm a little biased, we do give really good previews on upcoming opponents. So in a couple days, head over to IndianaHQ.com. They do a lot of really good research in there. Check it out, Iowa's upcoming opponent. Then you can also, if you don't have any podcast, we're going to preview it on our podcast Tuesday night at 8:30 live. Live, and we'll post it afterwards as well, that we can give a little more specifics and talk about it a little longer.
Great. Fantastic. Well, I'll just finish off then. One last thank you to the guys over at Home Field Apparel. Remember, because you are Assembly Call listener, you can get 20% off of your entire order at homefieldapparel.com using that promo code Assembly20. So if you want to get a great deal on most comfortable and unique IU apparel that you'll find anywhere, go to homefieldapparel.com and use the promo code Assembly20 for 20% off your entire order. And I think that's it for us on this edition of IU Post Game Show. I know the guys will be going live here in a little bit. If you want to see us do the show live and be a part of the live chat, make sure that you subscribe to the YouTube channel, youtube.com/assemblycall. Don't forget to go to assemblycall.com or text IU to 66866 to join the free email newsletter. Special thanks to longtime listener Bob Thompson, who produced much of the music you hear on the show. And thank you for listening. We'll be back to talk IU hoops again with you Thursday night. Until then, as we always say, keep your elbows in.
Take it from me, Jordan Halls. Keep your elbow in and your eyes on the rim. And go Hoosiers. Go Hoosiers.
Thank everybody for coming out.
All right, I got to get out of here, folks. Thank you.
Here I come. This is Don Sony.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.